Welcome back to First Gen Table Talks with Ellie Rivera. This episode is about getting to know some of our women who have made history here on ATU campus. In honor of Women's History Month, we have invited women who started just like many of us. As this episode's guests, we have Taylor Wilkerson, Kate Manuel, and Dr. Tanelle Lasker-Scott, otherwise known as Dr. T. If you guys could please introduce yourselves along with saying how you've made history here.
Well, hello. I am Dr. Tanelle Lasker-Scott. As she stated, everyone just calls me Dr. T. I am the second black woman to be promoted and tenured at the university, and I came here in 2015. However, I will say that I have to definitely give respect and honor to the first black woman who was promoted and tenured, which is Dr. V. Carol Smith, who just recently retired about 2 years ago.
My name is Taylor Wilkerson. I'm a senior health and exercise science major, and I am the first Arkansas Tech University National Panhellenic Council President.
Well, my name is Kate Manuel, and I am your very first Hispanic Latina Miss Arkansas Tech University. It's been such a blessing to be able to bear your breakthrough all of that. It's been amazing.
Thank you. The quote we wanted to share with you all today is, "Don't be afraid, be focused, be determined, be hopeful, be empowered," by Michelle Obama. So let's get started. Did any of you start your journey here looking to make history?
When I came my freshman year, I came in COVID, so I just kind of wanted to get my degree and then leave, so I didn't think that I would be where I am in 2020 at all.
I didn't either. I came in just looking to pursue my degree in elementary education. Definitely did not expect to be where I am at today.
I guess we're all in the same boat. I definitely didn't think I would be adding to a history here. I completely did not anticipate that I would that a university that has been here, I believe, since 1909, that I would only be the second black woman to do this. So no, I did not think that this would be, me being here would be history.
So were there any role models or mentors that have played a significant role in shaping each of your journeys?
I would say absolutely. It would be Miss Arkansas Tech 2020 and 2021, which was Olivia Battles. She was an icon to me, an absolute idol. I loved her, and I saw her differences, and I thought, why not? Why couldn't I bring my differences? And I did a little research, talked to the director, and realized that they hadn't had a Hispanic Miss Arkansas Tech, and so, yeah, decided to pursue it.
I'd say my mom is my biggest role model. She's just been the most encouraging person through everything. I always call her when I have problems. I'd call her and be like, girl, I cannot figure out the paperwork. What question are they asking me? And she was just always there through the entire journey since the beginning of time in 2002. And then I also look at our past president for my chapter, which is Bree Alford. She was a big role model and introduced me into Zeta and bringing me into, you know, the Zeta world and just encouraging me to push through the MPHC Council and actually do everything.
So again, mother, of course. I actually moved here because of my mother. My mother developed Alzheimer's, and so she not only became my role model, but she became my guiding light and my driving force for even staying here at the university. But as far as the university goes, I will say that Dr. V. Carol Smith, because she was the first one, helped me just circumvent and navigate through a lot of trials and tribulations here that I did not anticipate when I first started. So I will say that she was a big help, and along with my colleagues, they dope. So they were very helpful.
How have you all navigated the challenges of societal norms and expectations in pursuit of your goals here at Tech?
Well, I know that for pageantry, being in that world, most think that there's a specific shoe that must fit. There's, you know, you have to meet certain standards. But I know that going on and pursuing this dream, this job title for the past few years, I've learned that you are the standard. You create the standard. You tell them who they think Miss Arkansas Tech should be.
Much like Kate, I definitely believe that you should always be the change that you want to see. And I wanted to see a council for the African American Greeks because we never had one before. Many had tried before, but they didn't succeed. They didn't have the full support. So I just think being the change that you want to be, and being like being that role model for the younger people that are even your age, to just like allow them to see that you can do it, even though it's hard, even though you have life and school, it's still possible.
So there was a lot going on when I first came here. We were approaching Obama's second time, or actually running again for the presidency. I was in Georgia before this, which is also a red state, also a very conservative state, but I lived in Athens. And the university kind of sculpts that landscape. And so I grew up, or rather, I will say I grew up as an adult even there, but things were very different. So it's crazy just being away and being outside of Arkansas for even 6-7 years and coming back, having to deal with different ideologies that I was away from for 6 years. I was comforted at Georgia, and so then coming back here kind of made it was a little different. I will say that there are a lot of things that I started here, or I did here, that for tech was a, why is she doing this? Why is she pushing all this blackness and all of this? And I'm not Hispanic, nor am I Latina. However, I am a constant advocate. I'm not an ally, I'm an advocate. I believe in, like, actually not just being verbal, but doing the action and words more than words. And so when I came here and I started the Black Faculty Staff, the Black Faculty and Staff Organization, there was a lot of pushback. When I started the Minority Mentorship Program, and as we have mentors in here, we've seen the pushback as I collaborate with Dr. Caraballo, who is actually, I believe, our first Hispanic woman to be a full professor at this university. So I celebrate her also. Mm-hmm. But as we continue to try to make this place more inclusive, you're always going to get some kind of negative feedback, some type of pushback. So I'm very, very, very thankful to the colleagues who saw past my skin color and understood that I was here trying to do something and make a space for students who felt like they didn't have a voice. And so I don't think that I didn't come here with those intentions, because honestly, I thought tech already had this stuff, because most universities do. But dealing with the fact that a lot of people did not want tech to expand to include the Latina and Hispanic voice, to include the Black voice, to include just the rural diverse people of color voice, we've definitely felt the pushback, but I'm glad that we're all making history here together.
As a woman and a leader here on campus, what have you guys found that drives you to continue to pursue creating these paths for other women and students here at Tech?
Well, I've had multiple diverse, multicultural students come up to me and text me, DM me, and, you know, they've written me these long paragraphs saying how they've supported me from the beginning, saying that I am an amazing form of representation for their culture, and seeing that there's not much of that representation here on campus really makes them feel seen. That's definitely something that makes me feel so overwhelmed. I know that it's something that I've been pursuing, and kind of going back to Olivia Battles, just seeing her differences and seeing how she made such a huge impact and how she was such a role model to me, knowing that I get to be that for students on campus, especially ones that don't feel seen in our PWI, it's been amazing.
I just like being told that I can't do something, because it makes you want to do it. And that's like the little bad kid in me, but I just like being told, like, you can't make history, like, you can't do that, because being an African-American woman, like, you're always told what you can't do, like, you can't be overly ambitious because you're seen as aggressive. I don't like the stereotypes. I'd like to just go against them, and I just feel like being, like, representation matters, like, even going to elementary school, just showing up as, like, this is a Black person in college, and I'm a Black Greek, and then I made history. The kids are like, oh my gosh, she's like a princess, superstar, whatever. Like, I just think that it is really big to represent our color, to not be ashamed, to just be what, like I said earlier, be the change that you want to be at all times, no matter what.
I do it for y'all. You keep speaking about Olivia, and of course, I'm over here just smiling. I'm actually cheesing, because Olivia was in our early arrival program, and she was one of my mentees, and I love her so much. And she was a guiding light to a yes. lot of students of color on this campus. And she didn't even fixate on her specific mm-hmm. ethnicity, but she spoke from a heart of just being different and allowing people to be different and still feel included. So when I see our first Hispanic man, and I've seen her before, we've talked before, so yeah. but to see her, you know, to make it, to see Taylor expand her leadership, expand her knowledge, and to take on these leadership roles is all very important to me. And I'm trying not to get sentimental right now because for so long, we never thought that we would have a Miss Hispanic Arkansas Tech. We never thought we would have an MPHC. We're barely having Black Greek letter organizations here, and I'm waiting for the Hispanic organizations to come back. So to see these young ladies, to see you in this capacity, that's what I do it for. I do not mind the ridicule that I get behind the scenes because I get to see the leadership that you all have. And to me, that's worth every stone that has been thrown at me. So I love it. I just love this.
Taylor, could you tell us how you started the NPHC Council?
So when Riley Gashaw came, she was like, what do y'all need from me? That's all she says. How can I help? Like, she'll just text you like, how can I help? And I'm like, nothing right now. But when she first came, she was like, what can I do? And we was like, you want an MPHC? She was like, okay, bet. And we made it work. We spent tons of time calling other universities, like, how do y'all do this? What y'all's bylaws say? Just a bunch of, like, background, underground work for as far as, like, MPHC standpoint. I'm contacting headquarters, talking to them through virtual calls. We just made it do, had business calls, emails, everything. Randomly, like, hey, can you get on this call at 1 o'clock? And Stefan Hall, the past new alpha president, was there through everything, even though he was a firefighter at the time. He was there through everything. He helped with everything. And we just said what we wanted, so we did it.
Thank you. Kate, could you tell me about your story of how you became Miss Tech 2024?
Yeah, so I actually grew up doing pageants. And a big goal of mine was to become a university title holder. But coming into Tech, I didn't know that they didn't have a Hispanic Latina. And I started off my freshman year, 2020. One, but the pageant was in 2022, February. When I first started, I was definitely super insecure. I remember whenever the list of the girls came out, I was freaking out. I was stalking them on Instagram. I was like, oh gosh, I was freaking out. And I remember I cried to my mom. I said, these girls are so accomplished. Like, I don't know what I'm gonna do. Like, I have no chance. And I remember coming out with third runner up that year. And I said, okay, you know, I got my feet wet. I said, let's try this again. I had a little background knowledge. I had barely started my platform. And then I went ahead and did it again in 2023. That year, I remember I had a stronger relationship with God. I had a really great connection with God at that time. And I put everything in his hands. And I said, God, you know, I really want you to help me. I said, if this is the path that you want me to go down, I know that you'll help me and you'll provide everything that I need. And so going into competition of 2023, I started to do a little more. I created my platform on social media. I started to do a little more, get more involved on campus. And I remember that year, I felt a lot more confident. I felt at peace, and I knew that it was the Lord. And I came out with first runner-up that year. And throughout this last year, I spent a lot of time on who I was, what I wanted my platform to be, and what I wanted it to stand for, and my relationship and my connection with God as well. I grew that, and I wanted to expand that. So going into Miss Tech 2024, it was the most peaceful I had ever felt. I remember right before that interview, I talked to God, and I said, you know, I want them to know that your light shines through me, and I know that all the preparation that you had for me, you prepared me for. So I remember going into every phase of competition, I was so calm and I was so at peace. And honestly, I did not know I was going to win. I remember right before awards, they said, okay, ladies, you know, we're ready for awards. And I remember standing back there and I was like, God, I was like, I know I didn't win, but, you know, I just want you to know that, you know, I trust you. I was like, I might not even place, but I said, that's okay. And so winning, you know, the vocal award, the talent award, the onstage interview, the private interview, health and fitness, and evening gown, that was, oh, and Miss Congeniality was an absolute shock to me, apart from winning, because I didn't think that this was possible, and knowing that I made history is even more groundbreaking to me. I still can't wrap my mind around it.
Did you do a clean sweep?
Yes, I did.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I was going to say, you made the first time I was on it, too?
Yeah. I think so. I'm not sure.
Okay, I was going to say, wait. Okay. Wow. That's awesome.
Yes. Thank you.
Dr. T, could you tell us how you became the second Black tenure professor woman as well?
Yeah. I don't think y'all want me to bore y'all with the promotion and tenure process. And plus, no one wants to be depressed talking about that process. But so let me say that when I came here, I actually had two Black colleagues with me. One is still here. He is African Native, and I had an African American male with me. And as we were all going through just teaching, doing our research, trying to do service and everything, it didn't even become apparent to me, because honestly, I'm just, y'all, and I mean, if you know me, I'm honest to a fault at times. So I didn't think I was going to stay at this school, y'all. I mean, no offense. Like, I thought my life was back in Georgia. I literally was here to help take care of my mother. I was like, you know what? Let me get the experience. Let me meet if I can help a couple of students, that'll be great. And then I'm getting out of Dodge and I'm going back here. And that's just not what God wanted for me. I did fall in love with the student population here. I did establish a really, really great relationship with my colleagues, of which none are Black. And so that's a testament to some of the relationships and how different things are here. Now, I will say, without a doubt, first of all, if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't have been able to stay here. I'm being very, very honest. And then if it wasn't for God, and if it wasn't for my family, and especially my colleagues. But it was in a meeting with Dr. V. Carol Smith, when she was actually going up for full professor, and they were celebrating the fact that she would be the first Black woman tenured full professor. And I was like, oh my God, how awesome. So I'm clapping my hands and everything. And then someone was like, oh yeah, you'll be the second, you'll be next. And I was like, the second what? And they were like, if you stay and you are awarded it, you will be the second Black woman to, you know, to receive promotion and tenure. And I was like, to what? And they were like, at the university. And I'm not gonna lie to y'all, I was like, ain't no way. Not there isn't a way. No, ain't no way. You telling me that it's only two Black women who, and understand, in order to get promotion and tenure, that means that basically you're here for 5 years, and then going into your sixth year, you provide a portfolio to a committee of all of the work that you've done. And then that committee gets to, yes, pass judgment, but they get to look at what you've done and then say, hey, I think that what she has done or what they have done is up to standard or better. And I think that they should join the rest of us in the academy, right? In the professoriate. And so hearing people, it seemed like people were more excited than I was at the notion of me being the second, because to them it was like, all right, good on you. But on me, the child of I'm a daughter that my father integrated Conway Public Schools. So I have aunts and uncles who have created mm-hmm. their own history within civil rights. I also think that we are so far away from the civil rights era or the words that we don't understand that what is going on right now, you winning and becoming the first Hispanic, Latina, Arkansas Tech, that is civil rights history. You establishing an MPHC and becoming a president, that is a civil rights history. Me becoming the second one, it's a civil rights history. This podcast and being started by a Hispanic young woman and now being carried on by another Hispanic individual is civil rights. We are doing our own due diligence and civil rights to change the history and the makeup of this university. So, the process was really and truly just, it wasn't as hard as changing some of the mindset here. But again, it was a process of research. So my scholarship, my service, and a lot of people say that I do way more service than I probably should. I'm very service intense, but that's kind of how I went through the process. It was, and I can't lie to you and say that it wasn't weird or that I didn't have times saying to myself, I don't have to make history. Like, I can go. I don't have to do this. And making history it's not always nice. It's not always a nice trail to make history. You know, there are some good things about making history, but there are definitely some trials and tribulations to that. But I'm just, again, I'm in my ninth year, so I'm very happy.
Can y'all tell us about the initiatives that you've helped create and strive to keep going here on campus?
So, well, having two out of the three people in here being part of the Minority Mentorship Program, So I started the Early Arrival Program, which is like a summer bridge program, and it's actually in collaboration with the Academic Affairs, and I work pretty well with Student Affairs on giving these students a heads up. Is typically first generation, and it's typically Black and Hispanic, or just diverse students who were a part of this, and we kind of bring them on campus for them to learn more about campus and help them to feel a little bit more comfortable, which if you know anything about that with people of color, whether you're low income, middle class or not, you don't always have the same confidence coming to a university than others do. So we want to reestablish that. The Minority Mentorship Program, having several programs every year that relate to both the social needs and the academic needs. I'm all about matriculation. I think I would be, excuse the term, but a piss poor mentor and professor if I did not focus on you all graduating. I hope y'all have a good time while y'all are here, but I want to see you cross the stage. That's the most important thing to me. So continuing with that and continuing with the Black faculty and staff organization, and also with a couple of my international colleagues, Dr. Caraballo and Dr. Regina Mandahar and Dr. Rob Stevens, we have actually created the Multicultural Faculty and Staff Organization, and I see good things coming from that. So that's what I hope to give to the campus. I hope whether when I'm gone that it's still here. And that's the way that I look at you know, kind of continuing the traditions that I've started here. And I hope it continues.
So my community service initiative, or my initiative for campus, but not only campus, but the whole state of Arkansas, is Si Se Puede, Empowerment Through Education. And Si Se Puede means, you know, yes we can. And it's a Hispanic phrase that's been used in rallying cries. And I've implemented that into the basis of my initiative because I think it's so powerful. And I think it's important to know that our differences is what makes us unique, and that's what helps us to strive for our aspirations, our dreams. And so it advocates for not only minority students, but all students and their ability to pursue higher education, as well as rediscovering their roots and rediscovering who they are. I think it's so important. I know that, you know, going through my Mexican culture and my Italian culture, I've seen so much and I've learned so much about myself. And I've created the Si Se Puede podcast, scholarship, initiative buttons, brochures, and workshops. And I know that I didn't have those resources, you know, coming into college. I missed out on a lot of scholarships, on a lot of opportunities that would have helped me pursue my education. And so I want to be that help. I want to be that light to those students who also don't feel like they have those resources or who don't see their differences as an advantage?
My biggest thing that I want to leave is first getting Greek life together as a whole as far as the three different councils with CPC, ISC, and PHC, because there's been a big gap between the two since we just started our council. We were under CPC and IFC, and we still weren't as together then because we still felt out of place because we were not under those councils. But just getting that together, and then also bridging the, like, breaking the stigma that all Greeks, you have to go through a certain process that's considered hazing or whatnot, and like breaking the stereotype of that all Greeks are not friendly, they're not fun, they're stuck up, they're bougie, all that, because some of us are, don't get me wrong. I have my days where I'm like, I don't want to talk to nobody, don't look at my face. But like, just breaking that, because I feel like people don't think that Greeks can have emotions and have bad days. Like, we have to always smile because we're Greeks, so we have to break the stereotype, oh, she has a straight face, She's a mean Greek, I don't want to talk to her. But like, breaking that stereotype, because it's very much common. People don't talk to you because you're Greek, and I just don't like that, because we're still people at the end of the day. We're still just like you. We just have letters that mean something to us. And just, I just think that we need to bridge the gap also between the community, like the Arxotec community as a whole and Greek life as a whole, because there's a big gap, and there's a wide variety of students that are Greek that, you know, are out of place within their classrooms. Like, they can't wear the letters in classrooms. That should not be allowed at all. And just breaking the stigma of we can't be together and that we are all not nice.
Looking back on each of your journeys, what are you most proud of achieving along the way?
I think I'm most proud of putting my name somewhere. My father passed in 2017, and I told him in 2016, I'm going to put our name somewhere, I promise. Like, I don't know where it's going to be. Law firm, I wanted to be a lawyer, but then I saw how much school it was, and I was like, nah, it's going to be somewhere. And so putting my name somewhere, the Wilkerson name is a very big name in Pine Bluff area. And so just being able to put it somewhere academically versus Pine Bluff area is not a good area to be from. So being in an academic area versus being like on the newspapers or anything like that, just putting my family name somewhere in a positive light versus a negative light.
I love that. I think that's amazing. Kind of going off of that, I mean, yeah, that's a big part of one of my biggest accomplishments. I mean, like I said, I grew up doing pageants, but they were little pageants. They were nothing like prelims. This is my first prelim that I won. And so I knew I always wanted to win a university title, and knowing that there had never been another Hispanic or Latina Miss Tech, that made me strive even more. And knowing that I'm that representation for students on campus, I mean, it's been so amazing. I know it's only been almost 3 weeks, maybe, and it's been so great. That's definitely my biggest accomplishment.
Well, I think one of my biggest accomplishments is just that I'm still here. Resiliency should never be underestimated. Sometimes, and it's not just that you're just here. It's you're still here and you're doing stuff. You're being heard. You're at least vocalizing everything. But honestly, my biggest accomplishments here, or the accomplishments I'm most proud of, is the number of students that I've been able to assist in some way. I am trying my best. When Taylor talks about a stereotype, I am trying my best to get out of. I have a couple of students who still call me Mama T. So I'm trying to get away from that Mama T. I'm like, y'all just call me Dr. T. But I also understand that to so many students here, I am a mothering figure. To know that is just to stand outside of my office, because I'm glad I have an open door policy, because I think students would make it an open door policy whether I had it or not. But I think my largest accomplishment here is really and truly just helping with the success of students. And thank God, seeing my youngest son cross the stage, he graduated in December, and I'm done, son. So I'm so happy. So as a professor, having both of my children graduate from college, that was very important to me, and so I'm very happy for that.
What advice would you give other women or students who encounter similar obstacles in their pursuits to make history here on campus or in general?
Don't stop.
Yeah, I like that. I'd probably say let them tell you no, and then like don't stop. Because people are going to tell you no till you die. But just don't stop. Don't let anybody just get into your head too deeply. Because when you get in your head, you're already fighting yourself. So you need to have yourself and other people, and it's, you just won't ever accomplish if you let everybody tell you no.
Absolutely. Like I said, I beat myself up the last 2 years because, you know, I was stalking those girls and I was like, oh gosh, they're so accomplished. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do. But this last year, I didn't do that. And, you know, you got to protect your peace. But, you know, there's always going to be people that don't agree with you, that don't support you and support your dreams and support what you're after. But you're the only one that can accomplish your own dreams. And so I think it's really important to stay true to yourself and to know who you are and what you want to do and what you want your name to be, and what you want your legacy to be, because you may not think it's important, but it truly is your representation to other people, whether you may not know it. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, it was don't stop. I mean, I really mean that. Everyone doesn't see your vision, but you have to understand it. Everyone didn't hear your prayer to God, right? When God is speaking to you, he is speaking to you. When you speak to God, you're speaking to God. So why do you think that everyone is going to hear the vision that you ask God for? So that's the reason why I say don't stop. Just because you don't hear the other voices around you doesn't mean that they aren't standing with you. Okay? Sometimes you are the voice that gives power to others to make them want to join in. I've had so many young women just in 3 weeks. Good Lord, I didn't know it was just 3 weeks ago. But I've already had so many young Hispanic women say stuff to me, like, even my goddaughter who is in Conway was like, Arkansas Tech, did you see who won? And I mean, like, they're so excited. I have so many young women who didn't even think about considering Arkansas Tech who now know, hey, oh, you have Black Greek organizations and you have an MPHC. And I'm very proud to say, oh, Taylor, yeah, that's my mentee. That's my baby. So that's the reason why y'all call me Mama T. I can't stop calling y'all babies. But that's it. And to all of you, please don't stop what you're doing. I celebrate you. I think this is so wonderful. It is so beautiful. We need all of you. And none of you have the same voice. So think about your different voices coming together. That's a powerful thing. Don't let anyone take your voice away, okay? That's it.
Thank you. Looking back, is there anything you would have done differently or any lessons learned that you would like to share?
I don't think I would have changed anything. I just feel like because, like Doc, she said, like, when you're praying, like, when you're sitting in that room or you're sitting wherever and you're praying to God, you don't ever think that maybe he's not listening. Like, I be seeing, I tell my grandma, you have a close look. Like, God listens to you more than listen to me. So I need you to say this little prayer in my name. But, like, you just don't ever know that God is, he's already made everything for you. He's already lined it all out. And he made you go through things so you can come out worshiping him and just giving all the thanks to him. And so, like, you're just like, oh, like, I can guarantee you, had I not went through everything that I went through in the past, I would not be at Arkansas Tech. I would not be a charter member for MPHC. I would not be going to graduate in May on the 11th at 6:30. Mm-hmm. But I just genuinely feel like if I had not have gone through the tribulations in my life, then I would not be here. Like, I lost my uncle in October, and Dr. T was there for literally everything. And I would not be who I am had I not lost him, because losing him made me go closer to God, and that makes me a better person today for what I am now.
I would say I would change the self-doubt that I had and when I first started my relationship with God, although that did change. But I know that that self-doubt absolutely destroyed me. It made me, I mean, I had no self-confidence at all. I had no confidence in what I was doing and what I was pursuing. And I felt like I just couldn't do it. But, you know, changing that, you know, having that connection with God, walking with God, and him giving me that support and that courage and that self-confidence and that peace, I mean, it was surreal. And knowing that I had that connection with him and seeing all these things, it was amazing to see the change from 2022, 2023, and this final year, 2024. And knowing that he had it all in his hands, and that he knew what he had prepared for me. Because I remember 2022, I cried, I bawled my eyes out, and I said, God, why didn't I win? I tried so hard, but I wasn't even right with him. And then last year I said, you know, I was walking with him, and I said, okay, those 2 years were to prepare me. Like, I've got it this time. I know now that he said yes, but you have to wait. now's not the time, because I know that all of that was just preparation. And so I would definitely change all the self-doubt and all the doubt in God, because he had it all.
Honestly, the only thing that I would change is the relationship that I have with my colleagues. At this point, we really are like family. I have maybe like three really, really close colleagues within my program. And the only thing I would change is maybe trusting them more soon. That's it. Because they have been a lifeline for me, both personally. Taylor and I, we've been talking. I've suffered some significant losses in my family since being here. And I will say, regardless of my gender, regardless of my race, I have had some outstanding colleagues here who would do anything, traveled all over the state just to support me in my endeavors. And so that's the only thing I would change, is literally getting to know them and opening my heart sooner to receive receive that kind of support. That would be it.
What legacy do you hope to leave behind for future generations of women and students here at ATU?
I think the legacy I'd leave is being a smart aleck, but that's just, I don't know. My personality is like real different. It's weird. Sometimes I'd be like, girl, what is it? But I would just say like being a smart aleck, but knowing when to not have the sassiness. Like, always be smart and always be true to yourself, but just know when you stepping on somebody's toes, just don't step too hard. Like, still get on their toes and on their neck, but like, don't just like crush their toes. You have to sometimes kind of step back. Like, you can tell, like, you know you're right, and they just not backing down. At that point, you know you're right. Don't know about today. Like, protect your peace. Don't argue with people that you don't have to argue with. You know what's right. You talk to God. He says it's okay. It's good. That's it.
As far as legacies go, I would love for 10, 20 years down the road, one of the students who's graduated that I had to be able to, you know, bring their child up here and say, "Ah, man, I wish Dr. T was still here, you know, like, let me tell you about this professor." To me, that is, that would be such a profound legacy. I hope that the minority mentorship program is here 20 years from now. I hope that we're at a place at Tech where Black, Greek, Hispanic, Asian, which I'm trying my best to get started, Asian sororities and fraternities. I hope we get to a place where there aren't any more first this. You know, to me, that's the true sign of a legacy, of progression, of truly making it, not a first this. And so I am hoping that my legacy is helping Arkansas Tech move to not having any more first. Mm-hmm. Especially when it comes to race and ethnicity and gender. The first woman to do this first. Well, it's 2024, y'all, and we still have a lot of firsts to make it Tech, and I believe we can do it too. But that's what I hope to leave, a legacy of no longer being the first.
Yeah, actually, going off of what Dr. T said, I think that it's super important that there are no more firsts. I mean, kind of like what you were saying, we are in 2024. It's actually really astonishing that there are a lot of firsts here at Arkansas Tech. And I know that my legacy, I want to be known as someone who represented well, who represented the Hispanic and Latino community. And knowing that I have this platform and I have this voice to where so many people can hear me and listen to me, I think that's super important. And so spreading my community service initiative, you know, speaking to those schools, I actually had an amazing opportunity to speak to over, I think it was like 1,300 people the other day, and it was absolutely amazing to spread what I'm most passionate about. And so I want students on campus and in Arkansas to see their differences as advantages, because like Olivia Battles, you know, she was a huge role model to me. And I said, because she did this, I know that I can do it too. And I want to be that same person for students on campus. She was a huge role model to me, and I've met so many students who have also told me that I've been a role model to them, and so knowing that just makes me want to pursue this even more.
What is some advice that you guys would give to other women and students who want to make their mark?
Well, from the professor standpoint, I will say that a lot of students need support. They need it from our student affairs. They need it from our academic affairs. You need to have the support of your faculty. We help drive things, right? Just like student affairs, the staff here helps drive a lot of initiatives. So the one thing I would say is don't stop even if you don't. And when I say don't stop, y'all, that people have no idea how much you get done just because you have the mindset of I can't stop, I won't stop, I will persevere, I'm determined, I'm going to make it. And so, but what I say is that along the way, don't try to do everything yourself. There are going to be times when you're going to find yourself being the only person standing on that cliff. That's just life. If you can get support, take that support. So don't hesitate to reach out to a professor. Don't hesitate to come and talk to a Riley Gashow or a Deidre or anyone. I mean, out here, you do actually have people who are here to support you. So my thing I would say is don't stop, even if you don't get the support, but don't stop yourself from receiving support.
I would say get involved. Don't stay stuck in the shadows, because I know that coming into Arkansas Tech, I didn't know I was going to be as involved as I am on campus. And because I am so involved and because I was able to see these women and their aspirations and their dreams accomplished, I saw that and I said, I want to do that too. Not just, you know, going to class, going home, but getting involved. There's so many student organizations on campus and they are absolutely wonderful. So don't get stuck in those shadows. If you want to make your mark, you definitely have to strive for it. You have to go for it. There are definitely a lot of people who are going to say that you can't do it, but kind of going off of what Dr. T said, there's also a lot of people who will support you and who will be there for you and who will be cheering you on. So
I would say don't be afraid to be different, simply because like that's how you make your change. You find out what is missing or what's the missing piece of the puzzle, and you just fix the puzzle, or you work towards to get the support that you need, and you get to those organizations that you find like your place in, and you make the organization be what you want it to be. Even if it's just like, hey, I am a student wanting to pledge a sorority. We don't have it. Start it. Like, look it up. Figure out how to do it. I want this organization. Like, look it up. Look up how to start. It's not that, like, it's not the end of the world if they're told you no the first time. Because you can go back a time and time. Like, eventually they're going to stop saying no. They're going to be like, this girl and this guy. They determine. We just going to say forget it. We're going to let them do it. So just don't be scared to be different. Don't take no for an answer and join other organizations.
Please make sure to check out our social media platforms. We're on Instagram and Facebook. On Instagram, we are at ATU First Gen, and on Facebook, we are Arkansas Tech University First Gen Student Experience. And on campus, we are in Doc Bryan, Suite 171. Don't be scared to pop in. Thank you.
Thank you so much.